give the Lord another mighty hand of praise. The grace of God is new every morning. The grace of God is just his help. The grace of God is his gifts that he gives us, yet we don't deserve it. The gifts of God that we don't deserve, but all the same he gives us because he loves us. Yes, that is it. That's what the grace is. I always say that grace has two sides. It's like a coin. One side is his mercy. The other side is his power. You see? The grace of God has power. Some people think it is only mercy. So they go for cheap grace. Cheap grace tells you that continue doing what you have been doing. Continue sinning. Continue messing. Because you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Forgiveness is there for you. So you don't change. That is cheap grace. But I'm talking of grace that provides you the power also to walk away from sin. Yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become sons of God. So for you to be a child of God, you need power to walk away from the old life. And grace provides it. Praise God. Life has challenges. Life puts people on pressure. But when we look at the eternal word of God, you get your answer there. And let me tell you, all of you who are here, who have decided to believe in Jesus Christ, you know why you are here? You are here on earth to provide answers, solutions, to solve people's problem. Praise God. Look at you as a problem solver. Sometimes people call you, I want money, I want this, I want... And you can even feel like switching off your phone. Turn to God and say, God, help me. Let me be an answer. Let me be a blessing. Let me be a blessing. Don't run away. That is a challenge. Look at the word of God for solution. Praise God. That's a challenge. Some of you have been in the church here for so long. You would not be really speaking into the lives of people. Prophesying into their lives. Of course, by the Spirit of God. You see? Helping people, encouraging them. Bringing them into the church. That come so that you hear the word of God. The word will set you free. Praise God. Say, providing kingdom solution for life's demand. Yeah, that is what our work is. To provide kingdom solution. Because the world offers certain solution, but it may take you to a pit. They offer. I'm telling you, the world is so tactful. If you are born again, you have to be very careful. Just remain faithful. Praise God. Today we are looking at the second part of our message, which we started last Sunday. Last Sunday we were looking at tithes and offerings, first part. Now we're looking at the second part of tithes and offering. Tithes and offering. Tithes and offering. And if you have a book, please write. If you have a notebook, note it down. If you don't know how to write, no problem. Praise God. Tithes and offerings. Second part. A tithe is 10% of one's income given to God. 10% of what? Your income. Which you return back to God. You return it back to him. Because he says it belongs to him. So you return it. You pay it back to him. It's not yours. If you have given tithe, you have not given God. You have only returned what belongs to him. If you give tithe, you have not what? Given God. If you come and borrow my car and you return it, I don't realize. Should I thank you for it? For returning my car? But if you bring something in the boot That my safari was very good. I brought for you 3 bunches of matoke. I can thank you for that. Praise God. So some people think that when they give tithe, they have given to God. No, you have not given. You have just returned what belongs to Him. And you don't only give tithe. And let me tell you, the issue of tithe has been the undoing of many believers. The undoing. That is, their failure comes from there.
Praise God. And then offerings are gifts.
It belongs to Him. Praise God. And then offerings are gifts, presents that you give to God. That one is yours. You give. Don't give only tithe. Hard offerings on it. Hard offering. You have just given a part of it. And by the way, giving to God is not an option. It's a command. We shall look at it next Sunday. It's a command. You are commanded. People who don't give are not happy people. They are never satisfied. Everything ends with them. So for you who are New Testament believers, with the New Testament with the new covenant, New Testament simply means new covenant. You have to be people who give. In fact, we are even supposed to give beyond the people of the old covenant. A good Jew would give 25 to 30% of their income to God. They give for the temple keeping, they give for the priests, and they give for the poor. That was their kind of giving. But let me tell you, a traditional Jew, up to now, they observe those giving seriously and check them wherever they are. Check them in the United States, check them in Europe, check them in Russia. They are always on top financially. A small group of people. In America, they have a group, they have an organization for Jews, for charity. Their number, I think, is about, in that group, about 6 million people. Not 6 million. About 600,000 something. But you can't believe what they give for charity. What they give for charity cannot beat, the other American charities. There is the biggest charity in America. Cannot reach their tune. Cannot. But the other charity of the other Americans are in millions of people together in that charity. But these fellows are in hundreds. But they give more than this big group. Why? Because they are taught that giving is the right thing to do. With them, they give 10%, the Jews, to God. They give 10% to the poor. They invest 20%. They save 20%. Then they use the other one for their costs. That's what they do. So in America, they're the ones in charge of the Wall Street. The Wall Street is a center of business in USA. They control 80% of the Wall Street. In Europe, and 80% of the banks. In Europe also, they control 80% of the banks. Even in Russia. It's not a coincidence. It's because they have followed a certain principle. Sometimes a Jew can walk into a town with only a bag on his back. Give him room. He'll be the tycoon of that place. That's why eventually Hitler tried to eliminate them and attack them. They were just jealous of him, of the Jews in Germany. He attempted and killed about 6 million Jews during Second World War. But of course, God is merciful. He rescued them and they had to sacrifice. But the word of God said it, that if you turn away from me, I will scatter you. They paid a very heavy price. But then that was a price required for them to receive nationhood. And in one day, the nation of Israel was birthed. And when people gathered and said, no, how can these people live? We should destroy them. They gathered all around to destroy them, but they couldn't. Up to today, they exist. It's a miracle. But it comes out of the covenant. You are covenant people. You should learn this principle so that you succeed in this life. God never called anybody to fail. Praise God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Now, in reference to tithe, really, and not only tithe, there are three things. There are three things that will hinder the manifestation of God's glory in your life. Three things, God's glory in your life, that will hinder the manifestation of God's glory in your life, in one's life as a believer. God's glory is his splendor. God's glory is his weight, the value that he has upon your life. We talk a lot about value addition today. The value that he has upon your life. The value that he has upon your life today. And there are many of you here, if I may ask you, Agnes, has God had some value in your life since you got saved? Too much. She says too much value has been. Can you clap to the Lord? Too much value has been added to her. And it is true. Praise God. Value addition. You know? So, one of them, there are three things that will hinder the value, God, the value addition upon your life from God. Value addition. Splendor. Honor. That will hinder your life from honoring God. Because glory has to do with honor. Honoring God. Glory has to do with value. Because the glory of God is his weight, his value, his splendor. And he wants his children to experience that glory. Not tithing is one of them. Not tithing will hinder the manifestation of the glory of God in your life. Not tithing. Listen carefully. The second thing is strife. You like fighting all the time. Fighting with your neighbor. Fighting with your fellow Christian. Fighting, fighting and fighting and fighting. It hinders, because normally the Spirit of God doesn't flow very well to bless where there's strife. Talking and talking about people, against people here and there. Just like that. It hinders the glory of God, the manifestation of his glory. That's why it is good to forgive people and continue with your life. Very, very important. I would just keep away out of unnecessary strife. Even in the family, even in your home. Faithlessness. You are not a faithful person. You are faithless. Can hinder the manifestation of God's glory. Those are the three things. But we are not going to really to look at them. I just wanted to mention, not tithing is one of them. Since we are looking at the tithe, you need to know that when you are not a tither, you will not see the glory of God. It will be hindered from your life. You can give to God here and there, small giving, big giving once in a while. But if you are not consistent with the tithing, you are in danger. You are in danger. Praise God. So let's look at five facts about tithe. Five facts about tithe. Number one, tithe belongs to God. Tithe belongs to God. Tithe belongs to God. So you need to know that. Sometimes people ask, who is going to eat that tithe? I don't want to give tithe. Who is going to eat it? Tithe belongs to God. Before you even look at who is going to use it, it belongs to who? Now let's look at Leviticus 27, verse number 30 to 31. To 32, I mean. 30 to 32. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. A fifth of the value. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Praise God. Very, very interesting. One tenth of everything from the land. Everything from the land. And you know, land is a very important resource. There's nothing you do on earth without land. No, it's not there. You want to grow a crop, you need land. Engineer Sam, you have a garage. Does it require land? Yes. Yes, the garage, they have a space. Everything from the land, not only the crop. Everything from the land. All our activities are, we have a base for it. We have a place for it. Land is a very important feature. These people, most of them were, their lives was really agro-based. It revolves around farming, keeping of, just like it is today. Farming and animal husbandry is a part of our lives. And of course now we have manufacturing and many other services offered. IT, so all kind of things for really solving, making life better. A tithe of everything from the land, in others your income. Whether grain from the soil or from the trees or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy to him. It is holy. Now mark that word. We shall look at it. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. If a man redeems his tithe. If you are a farmer, Pastor Florence, how much is a unshelled granite, a sack of unshelled granite from your village? You are not so sure. Mrs. Awuko, where is Mrs. Awuko? Yes, tell us how much. At least you have been going to the village. A sack of unshelled granite. Eh? Yes. Now? 100,000. Okay, unshelled. 100,000 Ugandan shillings. A sack of unshelled granite. And we are told here, now I'm going to ask the accountant now. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. So Chris, one fifth of you add. If you have, like now, Mr. Wuku has got our granite, one sack, and she wants to use it. So she wants to redeem it. She wants to give the Lord money. Instead of giving that one sack, she wants to give the Lord money. She has to add a fifth on that value of one sack. She should give the Lord how much now? What is one fifth of 100,000? Is that not 20? Sorry, fifth, how much? No. A fifth of is 20. It's 20,000. So he should now give 120 to the Lord. If you want to keep the granite, the unshelled granite, and you use it, say rather give the Lord money, you redeem it. Maybe it's an animal. You had a fifth of it. Maybe. Eh? Let me tell you, you people, tithe is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. It blesses, it protects. We had a spate of raids and cattle rustling in northern and eastern. All those neighboring districts, neighboring Karamoja, suffered. Even in our village, people's animals were taken away. But let me tell you, ours was not taken. Because I would pick always one and give it to the Lord. Praise God. There was a pastor who went and prayed in our home there. And I said, what are you people giving the pastor? They told me, we are just trying to get for him some little money here. They wanted to give, I think, about 20,000. I said, no, just get one cow and give. Get one cow and give the pastor. But I want, because I knew it was going to protect them. And I gave it as a tenth of what came after some time. Other animals were produced. Because the other time also I gave. So after the other animals have been produced, you have to be careful. You have to take note. If they reach 10, remove again and give. Irrespective of the amount. You see? The entire tithe of the herd, you see, of the animals and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Now, when there's a kraal, you allow them to be moving out one by one under one file. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When it reaches 10, ta, that is tithe. You don't just pick. The whether it is the biggest bull, okay, if it is the one coming. That one you give to the Lord. If you have not tithed for a long time and you have so many, you have, for example, 100. Those are 10 animals. You have 100 animals. You have keep them. Let them pass. Ah, the 10th one. Mark it. That is for the Lord. That is for the Lord. Until you finish. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's when you see the real blessing of God. So people wondered. They came and mess up people. But with us, until I think security went there, the president met leaders there, they took the army, and somehow it is better now. Praise God. The entire herd of and the flock, tithe of herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. This word holy to the Lord, separated, it is special. It is special. It is holy to the Lord. It is separated for him. So the tithe is not an ordinary thing for you to mix it with your things, with your money. Don't mix the tithe with your money. Don't. Make sure that when money comes, you remove it. When it comes, and you don't remove it last. You remove it first. It shows that you are honoring God. You don't give him the balance. That's why some people say, I have a lot of problems. After solving all the problems, then they find the tithe is no longer there. What is remaining is some little money. They come and give. You are giving an offering. Not even a good one. Praise God. Brother Chris, have you regretted tithing? He has not regretted tithing. You don't regret it when you do it properly. Some people say, I tithe. Are you tithing faithfully? If you are tithing faithfully, are you involved in strife all the time? Are you faithful? Praise God. Number two. Tithe was practiced before the law of Moses was given. You need to take note of this, because there are some people who say, tithe is of the old covenant. No, it was practiced before the old covenant, before Moses was given, before God entered a covenant with Israel in the wilderness, when he gave them the law. It was practiced before the covenant. Take note of that. Tithe was practiced before the law of Moses was given. That's the second point. Because some people will tell you that, tithing is of Old Testament, of Old Covenant. No, it is not of the Old Covenant. It began before the Old Covenant. It was a practice that those fellows practiced. They would give 10% to God of their income. And they did that because of the covenant. It was a part of the requirement for the covenant practice. Because when we're in a covenant with God, even with other people, there are terms and conditions. You will do this, I will do this. will you do this for one another? That's how the covenant was. It's an agreement with the terms of reference. If you do this, I will do this. Those who enter marriage, they enter a marriage covenant. Those who receive jobs from organizations and companies, even from government, they enter a covenant. They sign a contract. They sign a contract where the terms are clear. That's why they give you appointment letter. After you have, you sign a contract. You will be paid this. What we expect from you is this. So let's look at tithe first appeared in the Bible when Abraham gave it to Melchizedek. That mysterious high, the priest of the Most High God. He was a high level priest, a mysterious priest. For me, I believe that that was actually Theophany. That was Jesus really appearing there. Because when you look at Hebrew and you see what they talk about Melchizedek, that he has no father, he had no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. Who is that? That was not a human being. Praise God. Genesis 14 verse 18 to 20. Yeah, I'm telling you that's true. Even in the Bible college, I argued. You know, theologians, they have their own queer way of arguing things. You know, for me, I just maintained that I did not agree with the other reasoning. I didn't. Genesis 14, 18 to 20, NIV. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the high God. The Most High God. Some translation puts it like that. And blessed him. Blessed be Abraham by the high God, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be the high God who handed your enemies over to you. Abraham gave him a tenth of all the recovered plunder. Just look at this thing here. This passage. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. In the Eastern culture at that time, the Bible is referring to, bread and wine was used to celebrate a covenant relationship. That's why even Jesus used it when he was about to die. The bread signifies the fact that in this covenant of ours, when I'm in famine, you will feed me. But when you lack food, I will provide for you. And the wine represented the blood, their blood. Because in their Eastern culture, when they are making a covenant, they used to make some incision in the hand. They make some cuts on the hand. Then they join the blood together. Can you imagine? Of course, there was no AIDS at that time. They joined the hands together, saying that from today we are one blood. One what? Blood. So that's how they would make their covenant. And of course, animals were sacrificed, including even birds. That is how the practice was made. And that's why Jesus also, when he was about to go, he took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take it. Take it." And after supper, he took the cup and said, "Take, drink, this is the cup of the new covenant." So it made those fellows understood it very well, because they were used to the other practice. So when he used that as a symbol of the new agreement between us and God, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter a covenant between you and God. But the blood of Jesus confirms it. So you can see here, he took bread and wine And then he blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham by the high God, creator of heavens and earth. Blessed be the high God who handed your enemies over to you. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all recovered plunder. You see, Abraham went and God helped him fight five kings and he defeated all of them. And you see, those kings had a big army. They moved in different places and gathered a lot of money, looted precious things, clothes, all kind of things. They gathered them. Then they came to Sodom. They attacked it also and took away every person. And when Abraham was told that your nephew has gone, Lot was living in Sodom. Abraham went after them because he had men he had trained for war in his own house. He went, he attacked them and recovered. Not even one person died. He recovered all of them and their goods. He recovered them. And when he was coming, imagine returning, that's when he met this mysterious priest, Melchizedek. And Abraham recognized him and gathered all a tenth of all that he had and gave him. All the gold he had got, he gave the man, the priest of the Most High God. And the priest blessed him. And he wanted, you see, this man, Abraham, actually had the sense to see that the victory he had really was from God. Even the priest, this priest of the Most High God, this Melchizedek, told him, reminded him, and told him this, blessed be the high God who handed your enemies over to you. Praise God. You give us NIV. What does NIV say? Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. The priest told him that, look, the victory you had is because God was with you. You had a covenant with God. So tithing actually is a covenant practice. Those who are in covenant, they tithe as a practice. If you don't practice that, if you don't fulfill the terms of the covenant, your covenant has a problem. You are not practicing it. Tell your neighbor, practice your covenant with God. Look at another neighbor again and in the eye, say, practice your covenant with God. I know it is difficult if you are not a tither, you are a tithe thief. You don't look at this. Number three, tithe is holy. Remember what Leviticus said, that it is holy unto the Lord. Now let's look at this. Tithe is holy. It is consecrated. It is separated for him. It is reserved for him. Tell your neighbor, tithe is holy. That's why they say, they call it, you don't give tithe, you pay tithe. You return it. You don't give, you pay. But your offering, you give. Praise God. You give your offering. Some of you are wise, because there are people who are specialists in discouraging other believers from tithing. Do you know why? They know you will leave them. They will remain behind. So some people are, I'm telling you, some people are very jealous. They said, but if this one, I'm not tithing, this one will leave me. So let me also encourage her not to, or him not to, let her also eat it. And when it is holy, when you touch anything that is holy, that belongs to God, you are caught in trouble. You are caught in trouble. It is almost a cast reserved for God. In other words, I'm giving God this. If I don't give him, let this mess happen to me. They would go as far as that. It is, sometimes they had a vow to it. But almost is an accursed thing. And a casting is something reserved for God. Nobody, you cannot sell it, you cannot use it. But you have decided to give it to him. The best thing that can happen is to destroy it completely, that no man should use it. That's what a casting is. Praise God. So the tithe is not far from an accursed thing. Not far. So holiness is a state of being in agreement with God. That's what holiness is. You really need to understand what holiness is. A state of being in agreement with God. The state of being in agreement with God. Holiness actually is being in the presence of God. State of being in his presence. You remember him all the time before you talk. You are conscious of him. So if you are conscious of God throughout, whether you are driving, whether you are with people, whether you are conscious about him, that's why you are mindful about your action, your words. It means you are separated from him. To be holy is to find out what the Bible says and to be in agreement with what God says. Find out what God says and be in agreement with it. That's holiness. You agree with him, John. You agree with him. That is it. You agree with him. In the Old Testament, another thing that was deemed holy was the Ark of the Covenant. Even touching it could bring death. Touching it alone. So, because the Ark of the Covenant, you could not touch it. Only the priest, consecrated priest, can touch it. Why? Because it was holy. It was reserved for God, left to him, respected. So the tithe, respect the tithe. Respect it. 10% of your income belongs to him. And we shall see the reason really next Sunday. Why? One of the reasons why really we tithe. In the Bible, the word death is literally translated as separation. Death. When you translate it literally, it is separation. It means separation. Even when they said, God told Adam that the day you eat of this fruit, you will be separated. Sorry, you will die. When you translate it directly into English, it means separation. Praise God. So when a man touches the tithe or mishandles it, separation from God takes place. You become separated. And that's why some people begin to see a lot of struggling. It separates you. You don't respect him. You don't recognize him in your labor, in your work, in your life. You are not considering him. You are not respecting him. That's what it means when you don't tithe. Some of you know the testimony of what tithe has done for you. In fact, prayer is not a substitute for tithing. Even if you come to me and I pray for you a lot, it will not work if you are not tithing. Even if you get a lot of income, still sometime you will never enjoy it the way you should if you are tithing. And then you lose it. What's the point of having a lot of money when you cannot, you don't eat, you don't do anything, like the witch doctors. One time, a man came to me. He said, Pastor, guarantee my life. I said, I cannot. Only God can guarantee your life. He said, you see now, they took me to a witch doctor in Mengo, Kisenyi. Now I'm in trouble. These things, they want to destroy me. They have already killed my mother. Now they want to destroy me. That's when someone told him. He said, but I remember this person. That's how he came to Luzira here. Very early in the morning he was at my home. I said, it is here. What the witch doctor gave me is here. I said, bring it. It is here. I got it from him. Now, I heard their voice. They said, don't go and report us to that man. Don't report. They were talking to me. I heard their voice. So I went with the guy to his home and I found all kind of things the witch doctor had given. Some they boil and drink, different colors. Different candles. And the witch doctors would, and it was terrible. They would even come and use his room with the prostitutes. So when this man left here and went, I told him, of course now I led him to Christ. I told him what it means. He has entered a new covenant, so he should not fear those things. The devil now had no power over him. So when he reached Kisenyi Mengo, the witch doctor said, you man, you have betrayed us. You imagine, those demons ran back and reported to them that this man has messed us up. And he said, I don't fear you now. Also, I don't fear you. Then they asked him, where have you been? He said, I went to a certain pastor in Luzira there. Then the witch doctor said, we are also tired of doing this work. You could have taken us there. But we fear they can come and kill our wives and children. Because they know how vicious the devil is. But also they don't know, you know, the devil puts you under fear so much that you think you cannot escape from him. You even, because you have not had experience with Jesus, you don't know that running to Jesus will save you. You don't know, he said they appear to be so powerful that, of course, they use you to kill people, to do harm. So they know what they have been doing to people. But they don't know that a person who enters a new covenant with God through Christ is protected. And that covenant is powerful. They don't know that. So that's how that man escaped. Praise God. So when you touch, so this guy here, when he got delivered, God guaranteed his life. So the tithe is very protective. It causes you that covenant. That covenant protects you. Protects your house. Protects many things. One time a preacher was in West Africa from America. And the children were sick all the time. And the man went into fasting and said, now, Lord, what is happening? I'm here serving you. My children are busy suffering. What is the problem? And the Lord told him, but you don't tithe. You don't tithe. You are not covered by the covenant. You are not practicing your part. So holiness, the tithe is holy. You need to understand that. When God says the tithe is holy, we understand the definition of holiness. When you understand it, then you begin to see that tithe is the thing that keeps us in agreement with God. It keeps you in agreement. When you practice tithing, you honor God with your tithe. You remain in agreement with him. And remember that covenant connected with the tithe has promises attached to it. Promises are attached to it. Praise God. To tithe is to maintain the agreement with God. Not to tithe is to break the agreement. That is it. As simple as that. That's why the Bible says it is holy. It is holy. Number four. Jesus regarded financial stewardship, which includes tithe, as an indication of trustworthiness with spiritual things. He also measures you according to your giving life, the life of giving that you have. Your life of giving measures how really serious you are spiritually. It's a part of financial stewardship. It's an indication of your trustworthiness with spiritual things. There are pastors who don't tithe. They like bring argument, all kind of argument. I believe those are pastors who are gambling. They have not, maybe they don't have a clear call. If you have a clear call and you understand the word of God, I've met them. They even argue. But when you look at their lives carefully, you see the effect. You see the struggling they are undergoing. Matthew 23 verse 23. Look at what Jesus said. Some people say, oh, the tithe is not of the new covenant. No. Look at what Jesus said. It's not even of the old covenant. It was practiced before the old covenant. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Just look at this. War. When you see the word war in the Bible, it means trouble. Trouble. Trouble to you. These fellows, we are very keen at tithing, very keen. But they left out something very important. That's why I was telling you people that faithfulness is very important. And keeping away from strife is very important. And tithing is very important. But these fellows were able to tithe, but they were leaving out certain things. They left out justice. Justice is fairness. When we deal, God is a fair God. Even for him to deal with us, he had to judge his son because of us. He had to look out for a payment. So when we accept that payment, he receives us and he gives us the power to change. He's a fair God. There was no way he could deal with us. Because he had already told Adam that the wages of sin is death, separation, which ends eventually in separation in a place called hell, which is a very terrible place where you stay without end. If they say that in hell people could stay for 100 years, 1,000 years, or 1 million years, then you come out, you can still say there was one chance remaining. But there's no chance. There's no chance. It's a terrible place. You need to read the testimonies or meet people who have seen hell. It's a very terrible place. So he was telling them, you have left out justice. You have left out mercy. You know, mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. Mercy. Showing kindness to people. Sometimes you need just to be merciful to people. That's why God gives us chance, because of his mercy. But then eventually, of course, judgment will fall. You see? Mercy. Remember the other unfaithful servant? The unmerciful servant who went and said no when he was forgiven. He went and phoned his fellows. He was forgiven a lot of money. He said, okay. Because he fell down and begged. So when he got his fellow servant, who had owed him something little, and he said, have mercy on me. The man also fell down and begged for mercy. He said, no, throw him in prison until he has paid everything. He held the man in the neck and said, no. But later on, when his fellow servant went and reported to their master, he said, you see the guy you forgave? This is what he did to another servant. The man said, okay, bring him. Said, I forgive you. And you couldn't you forgive the other servant, fellow servant? No, take this man and his children, throw them in prison until they are able to pay each and every money they owe me. You just look at that. So when we are not merciful, that's what happens to us. Praise God. So Mary, you have to be merciful and forgive people. Praise God. And faithfulness. But you have neglected the more important matters of the Lord. Why is he calling it more important? Why? Psalms. Psalms talks about God's faithfulness. Righteousness and justice being the foundation of God's throne. Very powerful thing. It is the nature of God itself. What is being, he says, look, you have left out the foundation of everything. Everything I stand for is summarized in these words here. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Get for us Psalms. Is it Psalms 89 verse 14? Look at it. Let's look at that. In NIV. Joshua failed to get it. 89:14 Psalms. Is that the one? Oh, he has not yet brought it. Okay. So that is it. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. And the translation says mercy and faithfulness go before you. Look at that. The foundation of God's throne is made of those things which he mentioned there to the Pharisees, which is mentioning to you. That make sure as you tithe, your life is on that foundation. It's on the foundation of righteousness. Righteousness simply means right living. Tell your neighbor, right living. So that's what righteousness is. Justice is fairness. And mercy, that is love and faithfulness, go before him. Wherever God goes, love and faithfulness. He is faithful to his word. He does what he says. That's why you don't need to be shaken. No problem should shake you. The promises of God are sure. Praise God. So he told them, you should have practiced the latter. You should stand on the foundation. You should be on the foundation of righteousness. Be on the foundation of fairness. Be on the foundation of mercy. Because of my love in you. Be on the foundation of faithfulness because I'm faithful. Then the other ones can stand on that. Tithing can stand on that. So he never negated tithing. He did not say tithing is wrong. He says tithe, but also remember these. So don't let anyone dissuade you that, oh, the New Testament doesn't talk about tithe. No. In fact, if you don't tithe, you'll test the practical results. Praise God. The practical, how many of you have tested the practical result of not tithing before and then you began to tithe? You have seen the difference. Yes. At least you are truthful. Clap for them. We have all tested the result of the practical result of not tithing. Number five. Let's look at number five. Tithe is paid to higher authority. So that's why you should not steal tithe. That's why also when you're a minister here in the church, you don't receive tithe on behalf of your senior pastor. You don't. Someone used to do here. We used to have someone here And that guy was misguided by a believer in the church. He said, now my tithe I'll be giving to you. You see, first of all, we shall look that at that next Sunday. He said, if you don't tithe, you are cursed with what? A curse. Because it is separated. So if you are not authorized to have it, the curse works on you. Even on your own, the one which you should have given, you eat it, you pay with the school fees. You want the children to fail? You want the children to be going to the hospital all the time? You know, there's someone who went to preach in Congo. And a certain man boasted and said, but my father used not to tithe. But he was a very wealthy man. Then the Spirit of God led the preacher to ask. I said, how is your father now? How is he now? If you say used to not to tithe. Because he was now a mature man. How is his state now? He said, well, he's a very sickly man. And he doesn't have the money now. Just see. So that's when the man realized, but the word of God is true. Because it is protection, it's a defense. Now, it's paid to higher authority. As New Testament believers, we tithe to Jesus, our high priest. When you bring tithe to church, you are actually tithing to Jesus. When you give your pastor, you give the priest, you put it on the altar here, you are tithing to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4 to 9. Let's look at it through Message Bible. Now this one starts in this way. See then how great this Melchizedek is. First of all, even Abraham, the first and the most honored of all God's chosen people, gave Melchizedek a tithe of the spoils he took from the kings he had been fighting. You just look at that statement. In that verse number 4. Even Abraham, the first and the most honored. You know, people want the blessing of Abraham. Do the things that Abraham did. They want the blessing of Abraham. They sing and dance about the blessing of Abraham, but they don't do what Abraham did. Abraham was a tither. This is a very serious thing. Because let me tell you, a problem is all over. You need the blessing of God upon your life. You need resources. Each one of you have a call. None of you is a nobody. Every one of you is somebody in Christ. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Everybody is somebody in Christ. I've seen people. There's that gentleman, that preacher, I'm telling you, that man, without hands, without legs, but the man is a powerful preacher. One day he was praying and leading a president of one of those Scandinavian countries to Christ. How many of you have seen that guy? You can't imagine. Jesus will line up. Just look at that. Look at the man without legs, without, and married a very beautiful woman, and with children. But he's serving. He's faithful. He carries the blessing. He's solving problems for people. Now, you would say that's a useless man because he doesn't have the legs and the hands. The hands and the legs. But in Christ, everybody is somebody. You have to discover your purpose and pursue it. You know, the devil is a very big liar. That's what he says. He whispers in the heart of people that you are nobody. Why don't you go back to the world? It's a lie. What does the word of God say? I looked at that man. I looked at what the man has done. The problems he's solving. Whatever you are doing for the Lord, do it seriously. with commitment, the reward comes. Some of you were not there when Mary was actually testifying to us about a lady who came to our church here and bought for her 12 pairs of new shoes. And Mary kept them. Because she told me that I want to testify about what the Lord has done for me during COVID. I want to, let me take my time, I will testify. But this is what has been done to me. And you can see her very smart with those shoes. She's now changing them. 12 pairs. How she would have spent a lot of money on that. And the shoes are very nice. From United States of America. Praise God. Mary, can you walk with that kakondo here and you see? No, you walk with the kakondo. Because you see, some people used to make fun with that. That you are doing too much for the church. Do they pay you? You see? This is wonderful kakondo. In Luganda, they call it kakondo. Clap for her. 12 pairs made in USA. He said, I love your work as an interpreter. What size do you put on? And the lady went and brought 12 boxes. And you say he doesn't pay? He pays. Whatever you do for God is serious. Don't let anybody discourage you. They used to discourage us. He would come crying. I said, don't cry. God will reward you. They will see it. Some of you will attack me even at home. Some people are attacked by relatives. And alcohol that goes to the witch doctor or auntie, discouraging you from tithing. You are giving too much. Why are you taking the money to church? There's a man who was sat with this. The mother made sat him down. I said, because the wife was saying that this he pays tithe. It takes a lot of money, church. My son, you are here. I'm told you are taking a lot of money to church. But did he know where the son, how the son began? Praise God. Another one went to study abroad. And now, she left an instruction and gave authority for one of the sisters to be picking a man and bringing the tithe. Because she was working, she went for a course, but her salary kept coming. But she wanted the money to be brought to church. And the sister went and reported to the parents. And when the parents, they called her, said, but you are taking, your sister is saying you are taking a lot of money to church. And the lady said, leave that money alone. If I was not doing that, I wouldn't be helping you today. Because before she was not even helping them. But after she came to the church, listened to the word of God, believed it, began to practice it, her life changed. That course couldn't have even been there. Our promotion wouldn't have even been there. And the good thing is, even sometimes before she's promoted, mommy sees it and tells her, sister, your promotion is coming. Sister, I've seen this about you. And exactly the way it is done. This blessing is coming. She just told the relatives off. And this one, the man told the mother, said, mother, leave me alone. I don't want to hear that word again. Because you don't know what God has done for me because of that. I wouldn't be able to help you. Praise God. So you have to be very firm about that. Because it's not about man. It's about your destiny. It's about your destiny. It's about God. Praise God. So imagine, look, even Abraham, the first and the most honored of all God's chosen people, gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils he took from the kings he had been fighting. One could understand why Abraham would do this. If Melchizedek had been a Jewish priest, Melchizedek was not a Jew. Because the Jews were instructed to give the Levites their tithe. Those were the people who were serving the tribe that were marked out for priestly work in the temple. For later on, God's people were required by law to give gifts to help their priests, because the priests were their relatives. And that was their office. They were not doing any other work. They were serving God. So they had to be supported. Verse 6. But Melchizedek was not a relative, and yet Abraham paid him. Paid him. That's why they say paying the tithe. Yet Abraham paid him. And the second point in this very passage, Melchizedek placed a blessing upon mighty Abraham. Upon mighty Abraham. You see, your blessing is in the order of that of Abraham. God told Abraham, Abraham, leave your country, leave your people. Come, I will take you to a land, I will show you. And there I will bless you and make your name great. Or mighty. You see, if you are in Christ, you inherit what was promised to Abraham. So the blessing of Abraham is a blessing of greatness. May that greatness come out through your life. Melchizedek placed a blessing upon mighty Abraham. And everyone knows, I hope you also know, a person who has the power to bless is always greater than the person he blesses. You see? The person who has the power to bless is greater than the person he blesses. The anointing does not flow from you upward. It flows downwards. The third thing he spoke in this passage is this. The Jewish priest, though mortal, though they die, receive tithes, but we are told that Melchizedek lives on. He lives on. He lives on. And the fifth thing this passage talks about. One might even say that Levi himself, the ancestor of all Jewish priests, of all who received tithes, paid tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham. Even that's why the priests are made, told to pay tithe. Even if you're a pastor, you have to pay. Let's look at Hebrews still 7, verse 15 to 17 now. Hebrews 7, verse 15 to 17. So we can plainly see that God's method changed. Because God's method changed. Why? For Christ, the new high priest, who came with the rank of Melchizedek, he came with the rank of who? Melchizedek. Did not become a priest by meeting the old requirements of belonging to the tribe of Levi. You see? But on the basis of power flowing from a life that cannot end. You just look at that. Jesus does not die. Melchizedek does not die. So they are ever present. Jesus is ever present. He's always there to bless you. He's always there to protect you. He's always there to guide you. He's always there for you. Your relative will be absent. The boss at work may be dismissed, and or he may die. You know, something can happen to a man, but you have a high priest who is ever there. Did not become a priest by meeting the old requirement. Verse number 17. And the psalmist points this out when he says of Christ, you are a priest forever with the rank of Melchizedek. Look at that, church. Jesus is a priest forever with the rank of who? Melchizedek. That's the one who receives our tithe. Tithe is received by a person in a high position of authority. Praise God. And that is Jesus, our high priest. Some of us, we serve as under priest. Under priest. Just under him. The pastors are just under priest. He's the chief shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He's the chief one. Praise God. Lift up your hand and talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Ask him to forgive you if you have been stealing the tithe. And ask him to enable you to be faithful. Ask him to bless you, because now, by the way, when you become committed, you will realize a change. Ask him to begin to bless you now, so that you can give your tithe. One of our brothers said he wanted a good job so that he can also bring his tithe. And God gave him. You were here when he was testifying. We thank you, Master. We thank you for your word. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. You are wonderful. You are mighty. You are gracious. Thank you, Master. Thank you. And Father, whoever received this word in this service, bless them. Give them the grace to practice it. Even those watching online, as they obey you, bless them. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Maybe you are here, you have no relationship with the Lord, and you want to give your life to Jesus. Can I see your hand? Oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you. Come. Clap for him. You can stand here. Is there another person you want to give your life to Jesus? Oh, come. Clap for him. Clap for him. Wonderful. You can kneel near him there. Any other person want to give your life to Jesus? Are you there? Let me tell you. What I did many years ago is what we are doing now. Turning to God requires a deliberate step. You don't just, you act. You are called to Abraham Olupot. Can you imagine Abraham Olupot? We are just talking about Abraham. What about you? Titus. You can imagine this is Titus. It makes me remember Balundemu's testimony. That the grace of God in Titus has appeared. That teaches people to say no to ungodliness. That thing freed him. He said he had a problem of ungodliness that could not go away. When he heard that word in Titus, his life changed. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I come to you as a sinner. Forgive my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now,
I
invite you.
Come into my heart.
Be my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Now stretch your hands. Let's bless them. Keep up your hands. Father, bless them. Father, bless each of them right now. Father, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father, help them to begin to walk this new life in Christ. Father, give them the power to live a new life. We thank you, Master, for their lives. We give you glory and we give you honor. Bless them, Lord. Bless them and make them a blessing. From today, let their lives begin to change by your power. The hand of the wicked one is cut off from them. Any impediment in their lives, any trouble in their lives, we cut it away. I rebuke it to go. I break the hand of the wicked one from their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You can stand up. You can stand up. After service, Edina, you bring them to the office. I want to give each one of you a small book. And we want to get your contact. We want to pray for you and work out a program for you. God bless you.